Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all, and a very special welcome to any visitors who might be with us for the first time. It's great to see you. And of course, everyone is invited to stay for tea and coffee after the morning service in the hall. A couple of items of personal news. To mention that Camille Fernandez has had a hernia operation. In fact, that was yesterday. So do please remember him in your prayers. And best wishes to Jason Lee. Is Jason? Jason's at the back there. It's his last Sunday before he goes to Afghanistan for a six-month term. Jason, our prayers are with you. Godspeed. The elders have their annual away day next Saturday, so please pray for us as we meet together and think about the life of KURC. And a couple of notices from Vaughan James, some advance notices. And he says on Saturday, the 27th of July, it's KURC's first ever Games from Around the World afternoon. So this is going to be a feast of international fun for people of all ages from around the world. And with a bit of help from participants, we hope that this will be a feast of tea time snacks, again, from around the world. So do look out for posters. And if you have any ideas for games you think that people might enjoy, do please have a word with Vaughan. And a very advance notice, on Saturday the 7th of September, we have a day out at the seaside. So we'll hope for the weather, good weather, but look out for more details, but do put the date in your diary now. Thank you.
God, the Holy Trinity, Creator, Son, and Spirit, calls us to be here. We join together to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
We say together Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. When I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what is mankind that you think of them? Mere humans that you care for them. Yet you have made them inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honor. You appointed them ruler over everything you made. You placed them over all creation, sheep and cattle, and the wild animals too, the birds and the fish and the creatures of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Amen. Have a seat. We join together to pray. Let us pray. God of earth and sea and sky, of sun and rain and snow, of trees and flowers and grass, of birds and bees and butterflies, of hares and horses and hippos, of women and men and children, we come to worship you. You are bigger than our imaginations, beyond our words or description. And yet you call us to your heart and invite us to join your dance. Lord of all creation, you have entrusted us with the earth to bless it and to cherish it. But we human beings have caused disharmony. We have destroyed. We have divided. Forgive us. And grant us humility, compassion, and wisdom, that your whole world might flourish and thrive to your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Yeah. I think I've only got one hand, really. Today, we're going to be thinking about the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how it becomes one. Now, we're going to demonstrate to you with these ribbons. God the Father is purple, God the Son, red, and the Holy Spirit is blue. And you've tied the knot in it, thank you. Yes, you were, yes, you were, yes, you were. Okay, now, children, would you come and try and plait this ribbon? Do you know how to plait a ribbon? Oh, we may need some... but we may need a couple of volunteers to help plait. Okay. I think we're getting the hang of it now. Yeah, I think that's enough. You need to tie the other end. Yeah. Well, no, it's not unraveling. Here we are. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three in one. Amen.
We join together to sing what we're singing. See you later, gang. God bless you. We have two scriptures. The first is from Romans chapter 5. Now, the thing to say, which I will repeat myself, but the thing to say about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is it's not a doctrine that you can just say, oh, that's the text. It grows from the work and the life and the thinking of the early church. It's not imposed on it. It grows out of. So these two readings both have what I've described later as the buds of the Trinity in them. So Romans 5, this doctrine, you can see it is there somewhere. And it's not unreasonable to claim that the theological basis of Paul's argument is well on the way to being Trinitarian. And Robina Atherton will read this passage to us.
Romans 5:1-5. Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. And so we boast of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We also boast of our troubles because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. This hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. Amen.
Amen. And if you were to say, right, we need one text, you're only allowed one book in the Bible to help you in the whole understanding of the Trinity, then that one book of the Bible would be John's Gospel. It reminds us that the Christian doctrine is rooted in the story that flows in and out of Jesus. And the challenge is, of course, that this story should never be thought of as abstract or theoretical. It's a doctrine that impacts greatly on the way that we live life. I know you don't believe me, but it's true. Jean Thompson will read this second passage to us.
John chapter 16 and verses 12 to 15. I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you. Amen.
Amen. Meister Eckhart, a mystic. Do you want to know what goes on in the core of the Trinity? I will tell you. In the core of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Spirit. The whole Trinity laughs as God gives birth to us. Trinity is all about relationships. How would the church be if we modeled our life together on the Trinity? Each one having a distinct contribution to make. Each having times when we were the one that stepped forward. Each having times when we stepped back. Not based on our personality needs or our ego, but on the call of the season, and above all else, self-sacrificing love. There will be people turning up in churches all over the land, knowing that it's Trinity Sunday, who are there to sit and to listen to the preacher with their arms folded across their chest, and usually with their scorecards just ready to go. Usually on the basis, this is a doctrine, I don't understand it, you're not going to change it, what is the point? What is the point? Doctrine only has value if it gives life to our hands and feet and the body called the church. I want to say this to you. Most people who call themselves Christians actually are Unitarians. Which means they're not Christians. Most people who call themselves Christians are actually Unitarians. If you look at the way that they live their life, they believe in this God, Jesus, quite interesting, read the scriptures. Trinity is a doctrine of the church. Doctrine meaning the grammar of how we speak of God, developed in the early church to work out how this thing all hangs together. This God who is creator, Father, God, Jesus, the Spirit, how it all hangs together, how it works. And I would say that if you can give it some time and some energy, It actually is a doctrine that is transformational to the way that you live your life. If you have a notion of Trinity that sits happily in your head, or unhappily in your head, probably more accurately, then that will not impact the way that you live your life. But Trinity is about the nature of God. It's about the sayings and life and death of Jesus, and it is about the presence of the Spirit. And if we miss out any of those strands, God who is majestic and creator, God who is known as Jesus, God who is present now through the Spirit, if we miss out any of those strands, then we are in trouble. And it's a reminder that sound doctrine makes the difference because it helps us escape from all sorts of madness. For example, if God is only God as this creator God, this majestic, powerful God, then I will bust my buns every day, working as hard as I can possibly work, because what I want to do is keep this distant, powerful, really rather frightening God on side for me. And if God is only known as Jesus, then I will read the Gospels as historical texts that are slightly getting a bit moldy. And I will work out what these texts mean in my head with my pals, people who think like me, with my pals. And if I only believe in God who is known as Spirit, that I can believe any old mint, I will have no basis in Scripture, no basis in holiness, and Christians need these three strands, need to hold them together. God who is wonderful, God who is flesh, God who is present. So the linking of God, it was seen in the Romans passage. Hooray, says Paul, we have faith because of Jesus, which has put us right with God. This has happened through our faith, which has led us to a lived experience of God's grace. And then Paul goes on to talk about his own experience of God as not being pain-free, about how God has been present with him in his troubles, and how the troubles have led to endurance and a sense of God's approval and a sense of hope. And he affirms this sense of hope which comes through the Holy Spirit. And did you see the circle in that? And did you see the interrelatedness of it? And did you notice that Paul's troubles were in the mix of it? It's not that Paul's having a wee discussion about the Trinity, blah, 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 and his life is being lived over here. It's that his troubles are in the mix too. The life that he lives. He talks about his suffering, and that leads to new exploration of God. And then in John, Jesus is speaking as part of the historical biblical tradition. One of the commentators I read said, when Jesus is doing this, he's behaving like John the Baptist behaved for him. He is behaving for the Holy Spirit. Sort of, it's not me. Well, in this case, I would say, it's not me, it's her. John the Baptist says, it's not me, it's him. That sort of prophetic line. Now, when people usually use prophetic in our culture, what they mean is Mystic Meg, being able to tell what the future is, yes, you're going to win the lottery, all that sort of nonsense. But prophecy in the Old Testament is, this is the nature, the character of God. this is what God has done, therefore these things will flow. That's how it works. Armies at the door, which is when the prophets speak. Things are looking dreadful, but God is God, and the character of God is constant, and so we flow. Jesus speaks to the disciples and said to them, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And it's good news for you. And there are, you can imagine, how can that possibly be true? They're like, you can imagine it being like there's wry smiles around the room and that sort of jilted lovers conversation. It's not me, it's you. It's not you, it's me conversation. And the sort of, really, Jesus, you're leaving us and that's good news? How can that possibly be true? But events, brothers and sisters, have proved that he was right. Because Jesus, however lovely, however important, was contained in flesh in one place. The Holy Spirit is contained in your flesh, and 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 I could go on. And the impact, think about the impact in our world of us letting that light shine. For as long as we make our religion about worshipping a God who is majestic and looking and trying to follow Jesus who is perfection and stopping at that point, it will all be about our efforts and our energy. But if we see ourselves as part of something that is the flow of God, that we are partners with God, co-workers with God, building our lives and doing the good that we can, then things are different and things are good. How does that happen? Through the Spirit is how that happens. If God is in heaven, and God is in the past, and Jesus was a good man, and we like his teaching, Jesus is no different from Mother Teresa and Nelson Mandela. Lived a good life. If we're wise, we'll sort of want to hang around in his shadow. All very lovely. But Jesus speaks to the disciples. Tell them that he's leaving. Speaks and tries to convince them that it's good news for them and for the entire community. So this passage in John is what I call packed with Trinity buds. He offers his teaching, though, not in a seminal paper at Jerusalem University. He offers it at a meal table, knowing that he faces death. It flows from his sorrow, his goodbye to his disciples. It flows from his own fear of his own death. And the doctrine is important because it changes the way that life is lived and life is enjoyed. It's not about, the whole thing is not about doctrinal purity for doctrinal purity's sake. It is saying that God's saving love, who Jesus was, and then that moves into knowing ourselves secure and rested. Rested in the love of God. It's transformational for the living of today and tomorrow. Let us be still, and then we will pray. Thank you, God, that you have created the world. Thank you, God, that you have come as Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are present with us as the Spirit. Help us to rest in your love. Empower us for service and sparkle in the worship that we offer. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we're going to join to sing. I know it looks like we're not, but we are. And the hymn, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. Please have a seat. The Holy Trinity, about relationships. So relationships will be the basis of our prayers of intercession. So let us pray. Holy Trinity, we bring to you in our prayers those whose relationships are breaking down. We think of relationships that have gone wrong and have caused division and bitterness. We think of relationships where there is tension and mistrust between the nations. We think of our relationships in the church, in our work, in our family, with our neighbours, in the groups that we are a part of. And we think of relationships where we feel inadequate or helpless or used. Lord, in all these situations, we pray for your healing. We thank you for your relationship with your world, with your church, and with each one of us, for we are yours. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Mighty God, who is both one and three, we praise you as God above us, God beside us, and God within us. We bring our gifts to you in worship and gratitude as our creator and provider of all good things. We bring our gifts to you as sustainer, spirit within us, giving us power to make an impact on the lives of your children, wherever they may be. We bring our gifts to you as our Redeemer, who saved our lives from our shortcomings and failures, so that we might be brought into the presence of your boundless love, convinced that we have in turn been called to help others find that grace-filled love. Bless these gifts we give, and bless the impact that they might have. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, Thou Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
In the core of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Spirit. The whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us. And in that spirit, may we go from this place. Thanks be to God. Amen.